what's going on.
The Sons of Darkness. Lee Masters, FBI, who wages relentless war against crime. Lee Masters, the blind detective who challenges the Sounds of Darkness. Sounds of Darkness. Tonight, the Niemann Principle.
You know, Lee, something's missing.
Hmm?
From the coffee, I mean.
I know. Sam.
Yep. It doesn't taste the same somehow. Boy, will I be glad when she gets back from France.
She needed a vacation, Johnny.
Who doesn't?
Anyway, what does Russell say on that G-25 report?
Pretty routine, I guess. Nothing to get steamed up about.
So?
Three more guys to be mother hen.
Johnny, will you kindly speak English?
Oh, you know, security rap, real tight.
Mm-hmm. Names?
One scientist, two from the military.
Names?
Colonel Rutherford and Captain Long, they're from the military. Professor Niemann, University of Pennsylvania. So they're being watched, top level, big deal.
Yeah, you're right, Johnny. It is a big deal. Have you ever asked yourself just why these people are tagged 24 hours a day?
Well, they're important men, doing a vital job for the West.
Yeah. Take this Professor Niemann, for example. Now, this man's worth would be difficult to assess.
Well, let's see, Professor Ovely.
Biodynamics.
Bio what?
Come in.
Mr. Bradley?
Yes. Professor Niemann. Come in, won't you?
Thank you.
Please sit down.
Yeah.
Cigarette?
No, thank you.
You seem a little nervous.
Well, there's this terrible death of a student, Harold Peterson. And then, of course, I just can't seem to get used to all the security around me from you people here at the Central Intelligence.
Well, you know how we feel about inconveniencing you, Professor, but I'm afraid that's how it's got to be under the circumstances.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
You know why I called you here, of course?
Yeah? To help with the murder investigation?
No, Professor. The FBI will take care of that matter.
Oh.
They're on their way to Pittsburgh now. What I'd really like is for you to fill me in on the developments of your experiments. Just how far have you...
Well, Mr. Bradley, I don't know if you've been following my work closely, but there's many things that you would not understand, not being a qualified man.
Uh-huh.
Briefly, the situation is this. For the past 2 years, I have been experimenting with a new synthetic food substance, which I've called glucose. This superfood is in solid form, but it can be ground into a powder. It would look rather like the cereals that everyone eats for breakfast all over the world. The only difference is that glucose has the power to double a man's energy and stamina. You can see for yourself the amazing potential of such a foodstuff, especially where our armed forces are concerned.
Most of this, Professor, I know already. I'm one of the very few who do, but at what stage now are your experiments?
It has been decided, as you probably know, that after my successful experiments with animals, it's now time to go on to human beings, or rather a human being.
The Pittsburgh Athletics meeting.
Exactly. That is our testing ground when our Pennsylvania University meets the University of California on the athletics field. It is proposed that a measured quantity of glucose is administered to one of the athletes from Pennsylvania to observe exactly what the reaction will be.
Well, it's been decided then to go ahead with the human experiment.
Yeah, I'm sure it cannot be dangerous, even if it fails.
I sure hope not. We don't take chances. Have you decided which athlete will be the first to take the glucose?
Yes, a young student named Bobby Nichols. He's in excellent shape. As a matter of fact, he is one of the best runners that the university has at the moment, and I think he would be an ideal subject.
I see. Well, that seems to be in order.
Well, I suppose I must be getting back to my kitchen, if you can call it that, huh?
Don't worry about anything, Professor. You got the CIA and the FBI in on this.
Well, here we go again. Another day, another dollar. Why Pittsburgh, though, Lee?
Will you keep your eyes on the road?
How'd you know I wasn't?
When you can't see, you just hear good, that's all. When you turn your head, the sound increases. Now you just keep your eyes on the road, Johnny.
I'm watching. So?
Well, apart from the killing of the student, Hal Peterson, there's been quite a storm of student unrest at Pennsylvania University over the last few weeks. At first, the authorities didn't pay much attention to it, but it seems to have gotten out of hand lately.
And all over the world's the same, Lee. Just seems to be a wave of this kind of thing at the moment. Well, what's this got to do with us?
Johnny, the point is that the authorities have now pinned it down to an extremely fractious element of the student community. They feel there's a nucleus of students who are making it bad for the rest. And these students are communist-inspired.
Communist-inspired? Or trained? Is that what we're going to find out?
There's something you don't know, Johnny. Even I only found out about it this morning. Strictly top secret. You see, there's this Professor Niemann.
The guy whose name was on the report I read to you this morning?
Yeah, this guy is a professor of biodynamics.
Uh-oh, here we go with that word again.
Well, actually, it's not that complicated. The definition, anyway. Biodynamics is a branch of biochemistry dealing with the study of vital force or energy on living organs.
Now he tells me.
This Professor Niemann, who's head of the Faculty of Biochemistry at Pennsylvania University, has apparently developed a synthetic foodstuff which is called glucose. Now, this glucose had the effect on animals of producing double the amount of stamina and energy than a normal man. So, there it is, Johnny. That's the story of Professor Niemann and his principle of dynamic energy. Central Intelligence have got enough on their plates keeping Professor Niemann under surveillance without the threat of a communist-inspired revolt.
Now I understand. So we got to get down there to keep the scene happy, huh?
Something like that, Johnny. Step on it, will you?
Looks like a particularly nasty killing.
Although instantaneous. A double chop to the right carotid artery.
Yeah, not the way we train our boys.
Well, what do you think actually happened, Lee?
Well, there's not much to go on. Professor Niemann's papers on the glucose formula left untidily on the desk. Student Hal Peterson found dead on the floor beside them. Laboratory, obviously the scene of some kind of struggle, didn't you say, Johnny?
Yeah, but not much of one. Must have been over in a few seconds.
Yeah, and then there's the flashbulb. Cube shape. Apparently from a mini camera of sorts. Used.
Identified as Russian manufacturer.
Yeah, the lab report, and it definitely said, as near as can be ascertained, this flash could be of Russian origin.
Okay. Now let's assume that whoever it was somehow entered the professor's laboratory, took out the glucose papers, knowing exactly where they were kept, and then with his mini camera, started to photograph each page. But someone, probably Hal Peterson, interrupted him. Now, he didn't like that at all, so he pitched in and killed Peterson. Then he panicked and blew. End of assumption.
Inside job, Lee?
It has to be.
Why?
There's one thing worries me. Just how did the intruder enter the lab?
He just unlocked the door and walked in.
Let's examine that lock once more, shall we, Johnny?
Just to your right, Lee.
Just take a look here, Johnny. I can feel scratches on the metal.
Yeah, and the lock's busted. Kind of twisted.
Yeah, but the door frame isn't touched. Not splintered in any way.
That figures. It was the lock he was concerned with. Just picking the lock.
Then why are the scratches and the metal all twisted?
Well, I'm with you. If he was just picking a lock, then why the necessity to twist the metal?
To make it look like forced entry.
Exactly. This lock was tampered with after entry. In other words, the guy had a key, opened the door, and walked in, as you say, Johnny, in order to make it look good. He tampered with the lock afterwards.
Skeleton key?
Johnny, the make?
It's a Schwanzheiser, 5-lever action.
5-lever? You still think it's a skeleton key, Bradley?
I guess not. Then it was a duplicate, huh?
Or the original key itself.
What?
Professor Niemann, I'm concerned at the moment with one particular aspect of this whole case.
I would be glad to help in any way I can.
Thank you. The key to your laboratory, where is it now?
Where it always is, on my person.
May we have it just for a moment?
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
I got it.
Johnny, you notice anything unusual?
No, just a pretty complicated pattern. Heavy, expensive to make, and definitely the original, because it has the maker's name on it. All duplicates just carry a number, no name.
Yeah. No use taking fingerprints. 10 to 1, the guy wore gloves anyway. Okay, give the key back, Johnny.
There's something wrong with the key.
Professor, has anyone else, other than yourself, access to this very important key?
No one. Only myself.
So nobody ever enters that room without your presence.
I'm always alone when I work in there.
I understand. Well, thank you, Professor Niemann. That'll be all for now.
Very well, Mr. Masters.
Oh, Professor, one more thing.
Yeah?
This, Plucros, I understand that you have a guinea pig. One of your students has been training for the InterVarsity track meeting. Been on the stuff for some weeks now. Is that right?
Yes, it's correct. Young Robert Nichols.
Yeah. How's he making out?
Extremely well. I'm sure he will impress everybody at the athletics contest.
Okay, Professor Niemann. You may go now.
Thank you, Mr. Masters.
Well, where do we go from here, Lee?
Good question.
Only 21,000 or so people on this campus, including staff.
Okay, now, what do we got? One dead student? An obvious attempt to photograph the professor's formula? A track meeting tomorrow, and 21,000 suspects.
Figure there's a link?
Link?
Well, yeah. Between these events and the so-called communist-inspired unrest here at the university?
Could be, Johnny.
So, what do we do now? Interrogate 21,000 people?
No, I think it's reasonable to start with the central characters in this burlesque.
Beginning with... Bobby Nichols?
Yeah, who wants it?
I'm Johnny Bridges. This is Lee Masters.
FBI?
Right. You finished your workout? Can you take 5?
Sure, I'm just about through. I guess it's about Hal Peterson, huh?
Tell me, Bobby, were you one of his buddies?
We used to work out together quite often.
And where exactly were you last night?
Me? Well, I was pretty bushed after training. Been pretty tough these last few weeks. Did a little studying up in my room, and I hit the sack.
You didn't hear anything unusual? No sound of a fight, maybe?
No.
Bobby, how are you feeling after being trained on the Plucro's substance?
Oh, great. Just great. I'm going to show those babies at UCLA just what speed is.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. How was it that Professor Niemann chose you to be the first human subject?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I was in pretty good shape anyway. I don't mind. Kind of fun, really. No side effects.
Where are you from, Bobby?
Seattle, Washington.
Long way from Pennsylvania. How come?
Oh, well, you see, I'm studying cosmonautics and...
How's that again?
Huh? Oh, that's the science of aerial navigation in space.
You were saying, Bobby?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm here at Pennsylvania University. Seattle's not so good for that sort of thing. Besides, it was all full up at Washington University, I mean.
Who's in your team in the relay race tomorrow?
Well, there's a guy named Maddox. He runs first, then he hands over to Bennett. Bennett takes it to... Well, it was going to be Hal Peterson, but now it'll be Jim O'Grady.
So you're the final burst man, the fourth runner?
That's right. It's got to be that way. It's the final stretch that counts.
Okay, Bobby, that'll be all. You better go back to training. You want to be fit for tomorrow, remember?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Masters. You want any help, you know where to come. Bye, Mr. Bridges.
Ciao.
Six in all. Two are playing timekeepers, the rest sort of background boys.
Good. Johnny, I want you to pay particular attention to the relay race. I want a running report on that event.
But why the relay?
Well, you see, I'm working on a hunch, Johnny. At the moment, it's just a hunch. But I'm hoping for the best.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing, Lee. I can't see the light at all at the moment.
I may be wrong, but I'm pretty certain something is going to happen. And it's got to happen soon.
But why, Lee?
Well, for one thing, the guy who photographed that formula, he's now in possession of a very valuable microfilm. He's got to get rid of it, but fast. How? That's the question. Now, he has to pass it on. That's the way they work. Someone's the middleman, and there's a third and final contact, too.
Will the competitors for the final event of the afternoon, the 4x100 relay race, please assemble at the start. Thank you.
You think Bobby Nichols, even with Plucros, can beat Anderson in the final burst?
Anderson?
UCLA's final runner. Anyway, it looks like they're lining up, Lee. We'll soon find out. Ford's heading over to the back room. Now. Maddox, now.
And it's Grant from UCLA. Grant from UCLA, only a yard clear of Bennett for Pennsylvania. This could be anybody's race, ladies and gentlemen.
And Grant hands over. Now. Bennett to O'Grady. Now.
Grant has just handed over to Richards of UCLA. And the gap has widened. With O'Grady for Pennsylvania about 3 yards behind. Now a lot is going to depend on Nichols if Pennsylvania want to take the shield.
Richards is handing over to Anderson now. Here comes O'Grady. Now.
Anderson's going ahead slightly in this final burst. Nichols, he's catching Anderson. Yes. I've never seen anything like this in 20 years. It's Nichols. Nichols, he's up to Anderson. He overtakes Anderson without any effort at all. Anderson seems to be standing still. It's Nichols all the way. Bobby Nichols of Pennsylvania University has won this race in what must be record time.
Phew. Boy, some race.
race.
Watch him, Johnny. What's he doing?
Well, he's just talking to Anderson of UCLA.
How close are they?
Well, they're just talking to each
other. What's he doing?
Well, nothing, Lee. He's just handed over his baton to Anderson. At least I think so, but...
Okay, Bradley. Get it going.
Right. Professor Niemann? Professor Niemann?
Try the door.
Okay. Hey, it's open.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Let's go in.
All right.
Well, Johnny, what do you see?
Wow, what a mess. Bottles, jars all over the place. Hey, what's that?
There's been a fire here.
Yeah. Papers. Burnt.
The Plucro's formula.
I don't know, Lee, but someone's... Gee.
What is it, Johnny?
The professor, under the bench.
Dead?
I'll say. Head nearly blown off. There's a revolver in his hand. Suicide?
That's what I was afraid of. Start at the beginning, shall we? Professor Niemann discovers Plucro's here at Pennsylvania University. Now, this is dynamite. He knows it. We know it. And so do the Russians. Or at least they don't, right off. The Russians, like the Chinese, are very thorough when they go in for subversive activity. This Bobby Nichols, to all intents and purposes, is a clean, good-living, all-American boy from Seattle. But in reality, he's as Russian as vodka.
Trained in Russia?
Not only trained, he is Russian. Brainwashed and fitted out with a new psyche, a new personality, a new background. They get him into the States with a whole history built in, even with parents for good measure. His job? To create unrest among the students of the university. Yeah, there may be 100 other such Bobby Nichols scattered around campuses all over America.
But how did he find out about Plucro's? I mean, it was supposed to be top secret.
He found out the same way he got into Professor Niemann's laboratory. That was the one thing worrying me. Now, as you know, Nichols won't talk. He just clammed up. But we can be pretty certain that Niemann not only told him about Plucro's, but actually gave him the key of his room.
Gee, but why?
Scientists are a strange breed, Johnny. To them, science crosses the boundaries of mere politics.
So Niemann was a double agent?
Not strictly, Bradley. He wasn't working for the Russians and the Americans. He let it be known among foreign embassy circles that he was interested in sharing his scientific discoveries with any country. China, too, if necessary. Yeah, the Russians soon put Nichols onto him.
And they formed an alliance.
Right. Now we come to the athletics meeting between Pennsylvania and California universities. If you recollect, Johnny, during my interrogation of Nichols, he made a perfectly innocuous slip. He said he was majoring in cosmonautics. Do you know the difference between astronauts and cosmonauts?
Oh, yeah, Lee. We Americans call spacemen astronauts, but cosmonauts is what they're called in
Russia.
Yeah, precisely. I assumed Nichols was the guy we were looking for and who'd killed Peterson, but I couldn't prove it. Then at the sports meeting, I knew something had to happen, and it did. When you told me that Nichols was talking to Anderson at the end of the relay race and then handed over his baton to Anderson, that's when your boys jumped in, Bradley.
Gee, what a place to hide microfilm and a hollow baton yet. Anderson was the third man. Oh, he was an ideal contact living in at the University of California. Berkeley, near San Francisco, right on the coast.
And from the coast over the seas to the Soviet Union or anywhere.
Yeah.
So Professor Niemann panicked when he saw what went on with the baton and shot himself. So I guess that takes care of that.
Well, we've still got the microfilm, Johnny. At least Niemann left that behind. And what's more, Plucro's works.
It sure does. I think I'll get hooked on that stuff. After all, in this business, you need to be a Superman. Believe me.
You have been listening to The Sounds of Darkness. Join the world of Lee Masters, the blind detective, next Tuesday in The Sounds of Darkness. The Sounds of Darkness is produced by Harry van Beek.